Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circle Craft Studies, Nature Folk, and Nature Magic. In tonight's encore presentation from 2015, Selena discussed an overview of Circle Cemetery, green cemeteries, and natural burial as part of the celebration of Circle Sanctuary's cemetery 25th anniversary programming.
Welcome to Nature Magic. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we explore Circle Cemetery and greening the end of life. Circle Cemetery is a national pagan cemetery, and it's one of America's first green cemeteries. At Samhain, this year, 2015, we are celebrating the 20th anniversary of the establishment of our cemetery. It's a 20-acre piece of land that's part of the 200 acres of Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, which is located near Barneveld, Wisconsin, USA. Tonight, I'll share with you some of the history of Circle Cemetery and also talk about our services and work and take a look at some possible future directions that are presently under discussion. The origins of Circle Cemetery go back to the earliest time of Circle Sanctuary, the organization. I founded Circle Sanctuary at Samhain in 1974. The name Circle, the logo of 12 circles around a central circle encircled, came to me, as well as the idea of having a center, an organization, a community, which would bring together people who honored nature in sacred ways. In the earliest days of Circle as an organization, we talked about the need to have land for our center. To prepare for that, we began renting rural properties and experiencing what it's like to run a center outside of an urban environment. During the first few years of Circle Sanctuary's existence, we talked about what we would like in a piece of land that would serve as our headquarters. And some of those earliest discussions included having a place on the land where those who are part of the land project, the community, the organization, would be able to have loved ones buried and themselves when the time came, if they wanted that to happen. We began the search for land in 1979, and in 1983 found the land that today is Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. From the first time that I looked at the land, I was drawn to a place on the land that included a naturally occurring mound and a ridgetop. It was a beautiful place. It also had a energy, a presence about it that seemed greatly suited for ceremonial work. Indeed, at Samhain of 1983, right before signing the paperwork for taking on the land with the bank, I was up on the mound, did an honoring of the beloved dead and ancestors, as well as the nature spirits there. And a light appeared in the north part of this circular area where I was doing ritual. I had a strong sense that it was a powerful place to be and that it was right, the right land for us to have the nature preserve and eventually a cemetery in that part of the land. We ended up signing our land contract and getting the land, and then we converted the land contract after a number of years into a regular mortgage. And while we had the ridgetop picked out as a place to start our cemetery, we did not actually dedicate it as a cemetery and start scattering ashes and putting memorial on the stones there until we had paid off the land and had title to the land. We got title to the land after we paid off the land in 1995. And we did a dedication ceremony, dedicating the ridge as our cemetery area. In the years that followed, we did a number of ceremonies there, honoring the dead. We started having interment of cremated ashes, cremated remains, or cremains in that area. And in those early days, we marked the places where we buried ashes with stones from the area, forming cairns. And the oldest part of our cemetery on the ridgetop includes a point, and those original interments are still to this day marked with cairn piles. As we continued our work with the cemetery, we recognized that we wanted to expand the size of the cemetery to 20 acres, which would be needed in order to be able to have full human body burials. It's a more complicated practice and process to bury human bodies, especially if you want to do several and create a cemetery. In rural areas in Wisconsin, as carryover from older days, if the zoning is permitted in a certain township area and county, that a body of one of the owners can still be buried without having to get official cemetery status, although over the years some of the regulations regarding cemeteries have continued to evolve and change. Since we wanted to have a church cemetery for our legally established religious nonprofit organization, Circle Sanctuary, we decided to expand the cemetery to permit burials as well as cremation burials and scattering, as well as having grave markers. During the process of setting up the cemetery in 1995, we talked with local government officials and were told as long as we were burying or scattering cremains, we did not need to actually go for an official cemetery status. If we were going to start putting in permanent markers and doing full body burials, we needed to do a series of things, including application forms, going to meetings with different groups of government officials, and to have a survey of the area. So after we dedicated the cemetery and began the process of having it be a cemetery with cremains being scattered and buried, we had additional meetings and surveyed the land and started dividing the 20 acres up into different areas for the cemetery use. And then we went through a series of meetings and processes at the township level with the Zoning and Planning Committee. And once we had gotten that approved, we went to the whole town board. And once we had that approved, we started working at the county level to the County Zoning and Planning Committee. And once we got their approval there, then our final step was to get the plat, the survey of our cemetery, approved and registered at the county level. And this was accomplished in 2010. Once we had taken that next step, then we began the process of expanding the ceremonial work and the logistical support work that we needed to do the full human body burials. And we began doing body burials. And over the past several years, we have done human body burials as well as continued to scatter and bury cremains and have memorial stones for those who want to honor their loved ones in that way and have their areas marked, the grave sites marked. The cemetery is 20 acres and has four main zones. There's a huge field that's part of the cemetery, and much of that field has been converted into a restored Wisconsin oak savanna prairie. So we have prairie grasses of different types and other prairie plants that are in the field. We started the Prairie Project a year after we started the cemetery. And as we decided to have the cemetery surveyed, we thought it appropriate to include all of that prairie and to have the prairie not only be a environmental area that is bringing back something that once was commonplace in that part of Wisconsin, to have it as restoration and rebirthing the prairie, but as a place where ashes could be scattered. And we've had the scattering of human ashes in the prairie, as well as most recently at our 2015 Samhain, the ashes of companion creatures, cats and dogs. We have the prairie for cremains scattering. We have a wooded area next to the prairie, and we've started working with the first part of that wooded area as our full body natural burial ground. So our burying grounds is in a beautiful wooded area. And we have room to expand as the need arises. Then we have the original ridge top where the cremains have been scattered and buried, with markers marking most of the places where cremains have been buried. We also have markers that are memorial stones that mark some areas where tokens of remembrance have been interred rather than ashes per se. The fourth part of our cemetery is the stone circle. It's one of the most used of the sacred places on Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. This ceremonial site came into being as we purchased the land and had our first large group ceremony there. And we've been using it for small and large group ceremonies since 83. At Yule in 1983 is when we started construction of the stone circle with a small group of people there. The cemetery's ceremonies will happen in different places depending on the wishes of the deceased in making arrangements before death, and or the wishes of loved ones at the time of death. Sometimes we will have a ceremony in the stone circle and then process to the burial site. Sometimes we go to the burial site and do a ceremony there and then go to the stone circle for closure. A fifth place that's connected with our cemetery, although it's not officially part of the 20 acres out of the 200 acres of Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, are our temple room facilities. We have a remodeled barn at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, and we have our offices in the remodeled barn, and we have a very large community space that we call the temple room in the remodeled area with the offices just off to the side to that. So it's sometimes when we are doing burials and memorials, we will gather in the temple room and do a funeral or a celebration of life there first. And then we will process, usually a combination of having some vehicles go up to take those who are closest with the deceased, to take the body and or urn or other container of ashes up. And sometimes it's totally a vehicle procession that goes up to the cemetery area. We have a grassy mowed area. That's our parking area there. And sometimes we'll have vehicles go first, and then the rest of those who have gathered for the interment will follow on foot with a walking procession. We've been doing a variety of different types of ceremonies over the years. Sometimes the funerals, the burials, the cremain scattering and interments are attended by a large number of people. And sometimes it's a very small private ceremony, and that's the form that it takes. A green cemetery is a cemetery that takes a very old practice connected with death passage, that of returning human remains to nature in a natural way, combines that with intentional conservation of green space. Circle Sanctuary, founded in 1995, is one of the first green cemeteries in the United States of America. When we went through our cemetery establishment processes so that we could do full-body human burials, we became the first green cemetery to be established in Wisconsin. Since that time, we have helped other cemeteries with their development and growth. We've had people come and visit Circle Cemetery that really want to have green cemeteries in their own areas. We see the growth of the green cemetery movement as something very positive for humankind on the planet. We need to conserve green space. And when burial practices return bodies and ashes back to nature so that those remains can biodegrade and return to the earth, we are engaging in a sustainable practice that's good for the environment. Since ancient times, people have buried their dead without embalming. So natural burial is returning the body, or if cremation has happened, the ashes, to the earth without having the focus to try to preserve the body with using formaldehyde or other types of toxic chemicals that are typically used for embalming. So at our cemetery, in order to do a full human body burial, the body is not to be embalmed. It needs to be refrigerated within the first 24 hours after death and refrigerated until the time comes for the burial. There are a number of different religions that emphasize natural burial or require natural burial as standard practice. Our center is legally established as a nature spirituality church, a pagan church. And in order for those who have loved ones that have died to be put to rest in our cemetery, it's necessary for there to be an honoring of the divine in nature, working with nature in a sacred way. One does not have to specifically identify as Wiccan or pagan, but certainly has to have compatible beliefs regarding environmental practices that are part of a green cemetery, as well as the spiritual dimensions of working with nature in sacred ways. Baha'i, Muslim, Jewish, some Native American, and some pagan traditions have no embalming of the body. Many of those traditions also have included those who are practitioners doing direct action in caring for the dead. We give people a choice regarding last rites and end-of-life processes for dealing with the body. We will support people and their choices to the extent that we are able. Many people choose to have some type of funeral home as part of the mix, but we also have people that are part of the home funeral movement and are opting not to have a funeral home provide services. There is a growing field known as death midwifery that assist individuals who are dying and their loved ones in maximizing choices for end of life. In addition to running Circle Cemetery as part of my work with Circle Sanctuary, I also am part of a group of Circle Sanctuary staff and ministers and community members who are involved in doing environmental education regarding end of life. Greening the End of Life workshops and seminars happen at Circle Sanctuary and at other places. Some of our ministers are specializing in end-of-life work as well as supporting the Green Cemetery and Natural Burial Movement. Nora Cedar Wynn Young, who has Thresholds of Life website, has a lot of valuable information online. You will find some information about Circle Cemetery online at www.circlesanctuary.org. Sharon Stewart, who has worked with Circle Sanctuary and coordinated many of our events and helped in many ways, and she and I have done some green burial education together, as I've also done with Nora. She has been doing a variety of workshops both at Circle and in surrounding areas. So Circle Cemetery is not only a place that has burials, ashes, interment, and scattering, has a place with memorial stones, a place where ceremonies take place and where loved ones who have remains of beloved dead in our cemetery can go as part of bereavement processes and remembrance processes. We also are involved in environmental preservation as part of our Green Cemetery work and education regarding the environmental preservation benefits of natural burial and land conservation combined with resting place for human remains. I'd like to talk now a bit about some of our experiences over the years having a cemetery as part of our nature preserve work. It is an ongoing part of our work, and when we do tours of Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, we typically include a walk through the different parts of our cemetery. Walking up the road in the center of our restored prairie and learning about the prairie plants and our work in helping to conserve prairie environments and to restore prairie. Going to the natural burial ground, learning about the specifics regarding natural burial, how unembalmed bodies are put into the earth in some type of biodegradable container. It may be a linen shroud. It may be a pine box or coffin, a woven basket, a cardboard cremation container, and that in returning the body to the earth, that it's not 6 feet under, it's 3.5 to 4 feet down from the surface. The reason being that that's the area that the microbes in the soil are more active and can assist with the breakdown of the body and returning it back to nature. We take people on the journey up to the original part of our cemetery. That's where most of our markers are. We don't permit markers in the prairie because we need to do restorative burns. We do permit them at the ridge, marking cremation interment places, and we permit them in the burying ground. And as we go into the original part of the cemetery, we often tell some of the stories of the cemetery, including that of how our Veterans Ridge came to be. Circle Sanctuary is a legally recognized pagan church, and part of our ministry work, in addition to supporting life passages and caring for those who are connected with us and others after death and having their bodies go to a final resting place in our cemetery, we are involved in many other things. We do military ministries and support those who have served and are serving and their loved ones. But we also do pagan rights work through the Lady Liberty League. We were supportive of a process to get the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs to add to its list of emblems of belief that can be included on grave markers it issues at public and private cemeteries where the remains of deceased veterans are going to mark the grave. So we were part of a process of helping the pinnacle used by Wiccans and pagans of many traditions as their main religious symbol. We were part of that process to have that symbol added to the list so it could be on VA grave markers for veterans. That process actually took 10 years. We had already begun expanding our cemetery to 20 acres and doing survey work and starting to meet with government officials when we realized that the process of trying to get the symbol added to the list was running into resistance. It was not happening. Other groups had applied and had worked with getting the paperwork to the VA beginning in 1997, and we were supportive of that and were aware of that, and It just wasn't happening. And so in 2005, we decided that it was time for Circle Sanctuary itself to shift from being in a supportive role of the different organizations that had all applied and given the VA the paperwork needed to get the symbol added to the list, but it just wasn't happening. So we applied ourselves. And then later that year, the VA had changed its regulations again, and we replied a second time. And then throughout 2006, we increased our efforts further, including taking trips to Washington, D.C., to meet with government officials who were running the VA's memorial programs. We started working with senators and congresspeople on Capitol Hill. It was really clear to us that there was prejudice against the Wiccan religion and other forms of paganism, and we decided that we would actually put our cemetery expansion process on hold until we got the Pinnacle Quest, as I've come to call it, completed and successful. So I'm happy to report, with the help of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, that represented us legally, and with the help of pagans of many different paths and places, as well as people of other beliefs, other religions, other spiritualities, other pagan organizations, there was a grand outpouring of support and collaboration. And there were three lawsuits, two of which Circle Sanctuary brought with Americans United for Separation Church and State, and one Aquarian Tabernacle Church brought with American Civil Liberties Union. Well, finally, our lawsuit brought in a federal court in Wisconsin with Americans United for Separation Church and State got settled, and the symbol went on the list. So one of the stories we talk about when we give the tour of our cemetery is how this Veterans Ridge came to be. Once word got out that the symbol was on the list, we started getting requests from a variety of families who had been waiting to get the symbol on the list to even apply to have their marker produced by the VA. So we now have 9 VA-issued markers with pinnacles on it, marking the interred cremains of veterans who are pagan and Wiccan from different parts of the U.S., Nevada, New York, Utah, Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, Wisconsin, and from different branches of service, Army, Navy, Marine, and Air Force. And this place has, a part of our cemetery has actually become a pilgrimage spot for people who want to honor deceased pagan warriors, as well as people who want to go to a place that's connected with a major victory of pagan rites. We do ceremonies at Veterans Day, honoring living veterans up at our cemetery and on our land. And on Memorial Day, which is the time for remembering those who gave their life in war and in service to the country as well. It's been expanded to honoring all who have served but who have died, whether it was in service or not. We have Memorial Day ceremonies, we have Veterans Day ceremonies, and Armed Forces Day ceremonies, and that's an event that happens in May. And so that part of our cemetery is well known because of the major religious freedom battle that we were part of, and because of it being part of our military ministries. One of the things that's been a recent addition as part of military ministry work and Circle Cemetery is that of Wreaths Across America. And this project happens every year in December, the second Saturday in December. A nonprofit organization called Wreaths Across America has volunteers take wreaths that are made available through this program and place them on veteran grave sites at public and private cemeteries. The place that gets the most attention each year is that of Arlington National Cemetery, because the program actually began with that, that program there. But in addition to Arlington National Cemetery being a place where there is the wreath being put on all the gravestones there, there is now both public veteran cemeteries in different parts of the country, as well as there are at a number of private cemeteries. We became the first green cemetery to take part in the program, and as far as we know, we're the only pagan cemetery to take part in the program. So we've had people come to our cemetery during December for that ceremony where we lay wreaths, and most people connect with us through social media and our website as we put pictures of that particular program that we participate in up. I want to give thanks to Roberta Stewart, who's the widow of Sergeant Patrick Stewart, who some of his cremains are up at our cemetery. And they were very involved in the Veteran Pinnacle Quest. She was questing to honor the memory of her deceased husband, the first Wiccan soldier killed in action in Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan. Well, she also was involved with this Wreaths Across America program, and her support and collaboration made it possible for us to be part of this. So we've been taking part in that for the past several years. Another thing about our cemetery is that we not only inter in natural burial style human full bodies, but from time to time, we will inter loved ones that are creature companions. We have an area near the stone circle called Summerland Cairns, and that's the place where we have interred the cats that we've called temple cats that once were part of Circle Sanctuary that lived with me and my husband Dennis when we were living at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. We have land that we personally own that's adjoining Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, and while we don't presently have any cats living with us now, we continue to care for the Summerland Cairns part of the cemetery. So we've done some natural burials of cat companions in that part of the cemetery. And also part of our cemetery, just down the hill, is the cat shrine. And we've had several natural burials of beloved cat friends from community members in that part of the cemetery. adjoining the ridge top, just past the area where the human interred cremains are, is the canine shrine. And we honor deceased dogs in that part of our cemetery, and their ashes of at least one dog that have been put there. In recent years, we've had requests to have the cremated remains of cats and dogs that have been part of community members' families to be interred in with the remains of the deceased that was connected with the creature. And so in the last few years, that has been part of our process, having that option available. And we've had cremated remains going into full body human burials, as well as creature remains going into some of the interred remains up in the original part of the cemetery on the ridge top. At Samhain this year, we had three community members bring cremains and scatter them in the prairie. One of the wonderful things about having cremains as a means of returning human remains and creature remains back to earth is it does give some more flexibility for when the cremains are put in the cemetery. And some prefer cremation as part of their end-of-life planning for themselves and their loved ones, including creatures. Others really want to go the full-body natural burial route. Which is greener, I've been asked. It depends on who you talk with and what their approach is. But the full-body natural burial really has a lesser carbon footprint because most cremation that happens conserves quite a bit of uses quite a bit of fuel rather than conserves resources. So the carbon footprint of cremating a human body, for example, is pretty intense. There have been some crematoriums developed in more recent years that are less consuming of energy, but that is an issue for some people. They really don't want to release that into the atmosphere. So some people are heading towards full body natural burial as a greener alternative. Certainly compared to a embalmed body put into a steel casket, put into concrete grave liner or one made out of fiberglass, and in what are more commonplace cemeteries in the United States. That goes into, it costs a lot of money and it uses a lot of resources. And that's part of why greening the end of life involves not going there with grave liners and caskets that really aren't meant to biodegrade, and having toxic chemicals put into the body to preserve it. Why did embalming start happening? It really came as a result of the massive kill-off during the Civil War 150 plus years ago in the United States. So that's part of how that became such a common practice in the United States. But as people have become more conscious about the greenhouse gases going into the atmosphere, human impact on climate change, global warming, increasingly people are taking a look at the embalming the body and then taking a lot of resources and just putting them into the earth and seeing that is not making a lot of sense anymore. There are some cemeteries that are still having those practices but are starting to set aside parts of the cemetery where unembalmed bodies can go. Some cemeteries have already had some allowances for bodies not being embalmed going into cemeteries. However, many of the commonplace cemeteries that are not green cemeteries are really concerned about having golf course-like grass at their cemeteries where they use a lot of chemical fertilizer and basically require liners for the graves to aid with grass mowing and maintenance of the grave site. So hybrid cemeteries are ones that have a somewhat green section, but to really have a fully green cemetery, you're not putting liners in the graves, you're not putting toxic chemicals in the bodies. You are really allowing the body to decompose and go back to nature, to return to the soil. One of the powerful things of doing natural burial, and this is natural burial of cremains as well as natural burial of full bodies, it can be very therapeutic for the bereavement process. The loved ones being at graveside, having the remains of their loved one put into the ground while they are present, and if they wish, being part of the process of filling in the grave. I've done a lot of funerals over the years at different types of cemeteries, including the ones that are more commonplace that do the embalming and the grave liners and the steel caskets and whatever. Typically at those cemeteries, the gravesite ceremony happens, but then everybody's expected to go away. And the burying is done by cemetery staff out of sight of everyone. Well, certainly that's one way to do it, but I can tell you firsthand from having been involved with facilitating natural burial, giving people the option to take a hand or a trowel or a shovel full of soil and start filling in the grave is a way of honoring the loved one that has died, and as a way of really dealing with the reality of the loved one no longer being in that physical form. I did my very first full body natural burial out at Circle Cemetery a number of years ago after we had expanded the cemetery and became an option. And that particular ceremony was supported by a funeral home. The family had wanted them to do the transportation, the refrigeration of the body, etc. Well, the funeral home director had said to me that he expected that all the loved ones there who were pretty well-dressed for a funeral would probably be just putting in a token amount of soil. And I said to him, I said, well, if that happens, fine. We're prepared to fill in the grave. Well, what ended up happening, though, as I suspect it might happen, is the 50 or more people that were there for that burial all got very involved, even though they weren't wearing work clothes, in filling the grave completely in. And I talked to a number of the family members and the friends following that process, and without exception, they just were very moved by the experience. It was very cathartic. It really helped them with knowing that they were fulfilling the request of their deceased family member or friend by really doing a natural burial. So one of the real powerful things, and a story that we will talk about as we give tours of our cemetery, is how the act of caring for the dead and burying the dead is not only respectful for the deceased, but really therapeutic for those that remain. In closing, I invite you all to learn more about Circle Cemetery online, www.circlesanctuary.org, and you'll see our work, and it's the first thing listed under our work, or you can go to the section on land, and it's also listed under our nature preserve. We have a directory of those who have remains and stones at our cemetery. There's directions to our cemetery, a bit about the history, some information about Veterans Ridge, and there's a whole section with some links to articles and videos and podcasts of us being in the media talking about greening the end of life and talking about the cemetery. And we have a in memoriam section. We also have a Facebook page and a Twitter account. We give tours on visiting days, and you can get more information about when the visiting days are each month. We also, when schedule permits, have our cemetery open at other times when people come for full moon circles and many of our seasonal festival events and classes and other things. I thank you all for being part of our 20th anniversary celebration of Circle Cemetery. And I want to give thanks to all of those who have been part of helping make Circle Cemetery a reality, that are presently involved in Circle Cemetery support, and those who are aiding with visioning for the future. Our future plans include expanding the area, the wooded area, for full body burials, having more classes and workshops about greening the end of life, and having some additional ways that people can get involved in supporting our work, coming out and caretaking the cemetery, be part of ritual support work that we do. May you all have a wonderful journey through life, and I invite you to think about your life's end and what you may want to do, whether you want cremation or natural burial. And if you want any more information about our cemetery and its education and its processes, you can write us circle@circlesanctuary.org.
Thank you.
thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.